for the meetings, meeting on March 2nd and March 11th, both passed unanimously.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, moving right along to the treasurer's report.
Okay, hopefully everyone saw the treasurer's report. It was uploaded on Friday and emailed out as well. For the month of March, we were a little bit behind on revenue. I'll go into a little bit more explanation about that in a minute. 4.5% below revenue for the month brings us 0.9% above budget for the year to date. We were 0.6% below budget for expenses, brings us to 1% below budget for expenses total. And going back to speak about the revenue for a little bit, I've had a ton of calls with the other city managers and administrators since this started. By the way, Aaron Lecky, city administrator, treasurer. And it seems that, of course, sales tax is going to be down. So we should be seeing a decline in our sales and use revenue that comes in just based off of the fact that pretty much everything is closed right now and the businesses that are open are not big enough to make up for what's going on. We will also, due to everything else going on in the world right now, see a decline in our alcohol tax revenue, considering that our main contributor for the money that we receive is the alcohol tax sold in Johnson and Wyandotte County, and our main source is Quivira Inc., which is operating on a wine bottles to go only right now. So a couple of different numbers that we need to watch out for. One thing that they are speculating about right now is that there's a possibility that the property tax payment that we'll get coming up, usually we receive that in June, there's a possibility that that will be held off for a little while, give people a little bit more time to pay something like that. So I just wanted to warn everyone not to be surprised that we may see a little bit of a decline in revenue, which was something that, of course, we could not have accounted for before any of this occurred. So just kind of be aware of that. That's kind of coming down the pipeline. But back to the treasurer's report, a couple of things I wanted to note on the check detail. On page 3, you'll see a $1,200 and change bill paid to Olson. That was for the holiday drive study that we had done. And then on page 4, you'll see a check payment to Quivira Inc. for $105,000 plus. That was a repayment on the Duck Cove. We had received that check on page 1 of the deposit details from Johnson County, and then we turned around and paid it back to Q Inc. But that was something that they had already paid us back for in February. We had just been waiting on those funds. On that same page, you'll see page 4, the 35 change for the police car. As I said earlier, 30,000 of that was budgeted for out of the capital equipment reserve fund. So 30,000 you'll see came out of that, the 57071 police car account. The extra 5,994, like I said, came out of 51033, which is new or replaced police equipment, which could be changed at a later time as the fire truck sells. And then you'll also see on that same page, $22,406 to Johnson County Wastewater. Our interest-only payment on the sewer is always due in March, so that's what that is. The larger one with interest and principal will come out in September. And then there were no journal entries for the month, and then you'll see the credit card detail attached there as well. Any questions or anything else anyone wanted to go over?
Mayor Brady Lilja here. I didn't have any questions or discrepancies when I looked at everything.
Anybody? Or any questions about any of the things I was speaking about as far as, like, some of the revenues going down or shouldn't really be, like, a huge shock, but I did want to kind of touch on that a little bit and make sure everyone knew that was kind of a heads up. Instead of our conversations with other cities, especially in Johnson County. There's a lot of cities who are being hit really hard by it. As you've been watching the news, Overland Park says they put a freeze on their raises and are doing a couple of different things. Lots of people are going on spending freezes, things like that. I don't think that we're in any position to have to do anything like that. Just the numbers that we are going to see probably are not going to be as rosy colored as we've been able to experience in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Aaron, the expected revenue from alcohol tax, since the French is after that half, it looks like the budget is $12,100 roughly. Is that?
Yeah, and that normally comes in a couple of different payments throughout the year. So that's only a small little portion of what we've gotten so far. I'm going to pull up a document just to be able to tell you. Last year, those alcohol payments came in. We got them in March, June, September, and December. So it usually follows that pattern. Last year, our biggest payment came in December. It usually covers the quarter before. So this one that we received now should have covered October through December of 2019. We should not start to see a decline until probably the one that we received in June, based off of my calculations.
In our annual budget, what we expect to gain in revenue from alcohol tax is $12,095 a year. Is that correct?
So it gets split into two different categories. It's a state rule that we have to put half of the money we receive for alcohol tax towards our parks and rec. So it is two different revenue categories. It is in both the 40420, if you look at this, the profit and loss one, and also in 42010. The one in 40410, which is put towards general revenue, and then the one that's in 42010, that is the one that we put towards Parks and Rec, which we use to help fund the fireworks display or any other community events that we do.
So we're looking at what's budgeted as $24,200 roughly. We're going to see a decline in that of a certain amount.
Yes, and no one has been able to. There's been a ton of talk across the state of Kansas for treasurers and city managers as far as what we could pinpoint those numbers to be, and there is no indication whatsoever letting us know what it's going to look like. We're hoping maybe the next couple months for sales and use, they said that we should start to see an uptick next month because it falls a month behind. So all of the, for lack of a better term, panic shopping will appear on the next one. So they're expecting a little bit of a raise in what that is compared to normal. But then the decline will start with the payment that we received in May, is what they're expecting.
Thank you.
Yep.
And if we can just clarify that that was Councilmember Dave McCullough asking the questions.
It was. Sorry.
All right, Brady Lilja here. Aaron,
you're muted, Brady.
I am muted. You're right. Brady Lilja here. With budget stuff coming up, we start that in June or is it May?
We start it next month.
Okay, so would not knowing what's going to happen, if we're going to have a meeting like this or a meeting in person, do you think it'd be beneficial for Andy Nolan, Greg Preeb, and Dave McCullough, and you to maybe sit down just to have a preliminary discussion? I know you guys can't all sit down together, but at least sit down just to kind of talk about how the budget process goes if we're doing this virtually. It usually goes smooth. I know John and Gail and I are kind of used to it, but I just want to make sure that the newer council members are.
I that would be, they'd be interested in. I'd be more than happy to do that. This is Erin again. I can also kind of send out a little bit of the breakdowns of how it went. I can send them the copy of the budget documents that we used from May, June, and July of last year to kind of see how the numbers evolved and what we're kind of going towards. But would be more than happy to sit down with the three of them outside of that as well.
Okay.
This should be an interesting year for budget planning.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, Dave and Greg and Annie, I would recommend that if you guys have time in the next month. It might help a little bit, so.
Thanks. That's a good idea.
Okay. Any other questions on Erin's treasurer's report? Okay, it doesn't look like it. I'd entertain a motion to approve that. I have a motion from John Christie.
Anthony Nolan, I'll second that motion.
I have a second from Annie. Any discussion? All in favor? Okay. Motion, treasurer's report carries, approved unanimously.
Hey, Michelle, do we need to do anything to initial that? How does that work?
Do we have that initialed off each time? Normally I do, but I might just hang on to the, I just have the front page of the treasurer's report signed off on, just an initial at the top. I'll probably just hold on to them in the, my desk, and then whenever we go back through, I'll kind of make a note about who was here and have those people sign off.
Okay. Michelle Day, city attorney, there's a, you can go ahead and do that. I think there's absolutely no problem doing it that way. Another way you could do it is you all could basically authorize her to do it without signing off on it. Because of these unusual times, that is something that the AG's office actually has indicated that if you want to specify people to delegate responsibility to, you can. Something on the, like this, again, you can either wait like Erin indicated, or if you want to go ahead and just authorize her to do that tonight, that's fine too. And also whichever you're more comfortable with, Erin.
I would be, since it's no rush, I would be feel better probably just to have their signatures on it. The only person who actually looks at it usually are the auditors, and that won't occur until probably January of next year. So, yeah, if that's okay with everyone else.
Okay. Looks like that's okay with everybody else. Thank you, Erin. SMAC report. John Nelson, do you want to fill in for Bill?
Hang on, I'm not high tech. Yeah, I can, there's just a couple quick things. One, we did get notice as well from Lee Kallenberger with SMAC. A lot of it Erin was talking about. Sales tax revenue is down. The only thing they were letting us know is it's mainly going to affect 2021 money, which at this point we don't have any projects that we're requesting for, so there won't be any problem with the Opti project funding, and of course we're just finishing up the Duck Cove. Real quick on those, Duck Cove is completed. Erin and I will be getting together later this week to put the final billing together and the reimbursement request, which is $155,000 some change, which will be get 75% of that. So everything's good on that. We've signed off. Engineering has signed off. And actually, it turned out real well. Opti project, the Agrovane, which is the valve system, has been installed. Ricky Brothers did that. They actually did the whole thing with two people. So they were definitely social distancing. Most of them were back at the shop. The system is in. You can barely see it unless you look close. Bill is setting up right now to select the electrical contractor. And if all goes well, we should have the electrical in, the solar panels, how it's powered by the end of the week. We had a conference call this morning. I think you were on there, weren't you, Erin?
My dad did this one.
Okay, I couldn't tell who was on the call. But we were on it this morning. Everything is good on that, and they're signed off on everything we're doing. So, say hopefully end of the week, but most likely to be next week by the time we get the final electrical. And I believe that's all that we have going right now.
John Brady Lilje. Sorry, Brady Lilje. Brady Lilje with a question. Is the pond completely excavated, ready to go?
The pond is still drained right now until we get the final hookup on it. Yeah, the pond is basically ready to go. We made just some minor modifications around just beyond the valve system so that we can actually draw it all the way down if we want. So, yes, it is. We okay. just have to do the electrical, and the system will be up and running.
Okay. Go ahead, Aaron.
This is Aaron Lecky. I was just going to add that I do know that Bill contracted Mr. Stoneburner as his to see if he would be interested in doing the electrical work on it, and was waiting to hear a confirmation back on that.
Interesting. Okay, that's it, John. Thank you very much. I don't know if you guys remember at the last meeting, Bill was talking about the March 9th election. He was trying to get on the board of Watershed, I think it was Watershed 6. He actually is the vice chairman. So that's good news that Bill's doing that for us. So if you see him, please thank him and congratulate him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had to ask him. I figured he would send out an email, you know,
I didn't either.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Moving on to police chief's report.
Everybody receive mic. Am I unmuted? Brett Greener, chief of police. Everybody receive my report if you had any questions.
Can you guys hear Fred? Everybody's going like this.
I can barely hear you, Fred.
What about now? Any better?
Nope.
Well, I'll just speak next to Brady's. Unmute Brady.
I'm unmuted.
Can you hear me better?
Do you just want to do that?
Everybody received my monthly report. Any questions?
How's the coronavirus affecting you?
Actually, everything's pretty well here. We're not getting the call load of other agencies. A lot of reported incidents. I know I've stopped and talked to a few people that didn't look familiar to me in the area, and I think they were just visiting. There were obviously a couple, but they weren't practicing their distancing. But not too bad here. So thankfully. We have quite a few masks that should get us through the timelines they're projecting. If it goes past what they're projecting, we may be on the hunt for some more. If we do locate some, we're going to buy them anyway, just to have more on hand. But I did get a shipment of hand sanitizer donated from Holiday Distillery, which is in, I want to say, Platte City?
Weston.
Yeah. That's correct. So we have a ample supply of hand sanitizer free of charge, and we're getting some small squirt bottles or dispensing bottles to issue those out, like in the patrol cars, or keep around a little bit more handy since they come in giant liter size jugs.
Do you have any concerns at all? I mean, I watch the news in different areas of the country, whatever, they're any sort of exaggerated criminal activity. Is there anything like that going around in Johnson County you've heard of?
No, not that I'm aware of for criminal activity. And fortunately, we're very safe here, so I don't have a high concern of it unless this goes on to an extended time frame. And then the crime increases, and then we may be susceptible to other people entering.
Fred, we want to give everyone a little bit of information about the stuff, the COVID testing for law enforcement that you got the paperwork filled out for.
So St. Luke's Health System has set up a program where first responders can be tested, provided that they meet the criteria, and we set up an account with them. So if myself or one of the officers here become exposed to it and start to show signs or symptoms, we were already set up an account and can directly go there for testing. And I received more information on that today. It's actually a drive-through type testing facility. So looks like it should be pretty simple, but hopefully we don't have to use it. Any other questions?
I think the main thing here, this is Brady Lilja. The main thing here with Fred and the rest of his officers are just making sure that they've got, like he said, the gloves, the mask, and this is just in case of an arrest where they have to put their hands on people and get around people. So I reached out to Mark Steffen to see if he had any way to get us some masks if we needed them. So he was going to look down that avenue. I've also got a close friend who might have a way to get us 20 or 30. But just making sure he's got sanitizers, wipes, gloves, the mask, all that stuff, which he seems to be doing a good job of. But we'll keep an eye on it, and hopefully – this doesn't last too much longer. The new police car's in, like we talked about earlier. Fred says it's great. It's getting about almost 20 miles a gallon as opposed to 11 to 13 from the other vehicle. So just right there is great. And he'll start outfitting it here soon, I think. So anything else you want to add about the vehicle or?
No, not right now. So. It was being used temporarily already as there was a water pump leak in the old car. Yeah. So it had to go to the shop for almost a week. So that's why you saw it out and about.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard that, but you might have seen the new gray one out and about because the older white one had a pump issue, so it was in service. So you'll hopefully see it once it gets the lights and decals and everything on it more and more often here. Any other questions for Fred or his police report?
Yeah, this is John Christie. I have a question for you, Fred, and this goes to you and John. I was going to bring this up later, but maybe it just makes sense to talk about it now. If maybe you all could explain how the city and QAnon work together and who's governing what as it relates to some of these, you know, the social distancing protocols, and maybe not specifically for the time being, but moving forward, especially as summer months start, you know, I think the bees would be under your wing, but would the city have the hires? Would the city have be in a position to enforce a social distancing protocol on the beach, as an example?
So I think I read today or heard today that Wyandotte County was starting to issue warnings and fines for businesses that were non-essential but were still in business. So is that kind of what you're asking? We don't have any businesses here, but if you're seeing 10 kids on a pontoon boat that aren't siblings, I guess you're asking how do we enforce that? Do we enforce that?
I guess my question is more, I mean, I haven't really observed anything egregious, but would be more as the, you know, as the weather turns more summer-like and, you know, like, for instance, I know some places are closing down their beach, and obviously this is a whole different situation, different private property, but if, Brett, if you're driving by the beach and you see four families together in close proximity, are you or your staff empowered to say, hey guys, you know, what are you doing? Or if their response is, you know, hey, I'm on private property, man, you know, scram. Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious where the jurisdiction stops, and also want to make sure that QAnon, the city of Lake Rivera, are kind of coordinating all of those things?
If I can go ahead and comment, John Nelson, and I'm president of the QE board. Basically, yes, we are coordinating as we can with the city. As you are aware, we are following the social distancing, and actually the only things that are really operating are essential services. You all have seen my notes. The clubhouse is closed, other carryout. The admin office is actually locked and staffed on a minimal basis. There's at least one person there every day just to answer phones. And we're doing everything we can by email, or most of our the office staff is working out of their house. I did talk to Fred, I think it was about a week or so ago, and did ask if it would be possible that either himself or his officers do encounter groups of people, you know, they absolutely have our permission to highly encourage them to move on. This is something we probably do need to continue to watch closely. We have seen some issues on the golf course. We've extended the tee times to 18 minutes versus the normal 9. I've also talked to Chris about cutting the 5-somes, which keep coming up, back to 4-somes. But they do bunch together. The beach is basically closed. There's nothing there to really do. So, yes, they need to encourage people to move on there. I will tell you the thing I'm getting most of the questions from is the contractors.
Yep.
Which is still my understanding, unless you heard different, Fred. Construction is an essential services, and as it is listed in both Wyandotte Johnson and Governor Kelly's order, that is both commercial and residential construction. I don't know, Fred, you can comment more, but yes, we would appreciate any help with the officers encouraging people to move on. If the weather gets nicer, it's just worse and worse.
So, yes, we do have the authorization to enforce that, and if it were to be enforced criminally, it would go through the district court of that jurisdiction. So, obviously, in the Wyandotte County side, it would go to Wyandotte District Court, and on the Johnson County side, it would go through Johnson County District Court. Each sheriff's department has their own take on that, so it still comes down to us as the initial contact. If we can't get it handled, both sheriff's office will assist us with other avenues if we need to. Does that answer your question, John?
And if I could, I'll make just one more comment. This is John Nelson again. We are evaluating as we go ahead. For example, John, we're planning a call later this week to start discussing summer rec, swim team, these type of things. I mean, we can't determine yet, but we're trying to stay ahead of what we know is coming up.
This is John Christine. I know that Missy, my wife, runs a summer rec program. She's been in touch with swim team, and that was part of the reason for my question was, you know, they're trying to figure out just how much planning to do, because if QAnon comes in and says, you know, the beach is closed, well, you know, obviously there is no swim team and summer rec. So, anyway, I'll pass that along, and I'm sure she'll get looped in.
And I'm on that call Thursday at 6:30 is what it's planned right now. I talked with Kim and Sarah earlier, or so. That is a big program coming up, so, yeah.
I'm just going to add real quick, the way that things have worked a lot of the time, when we first got the notification about the restaurants only switching to takeout or delivery, that came through a conference call that I was on. I immediately got off, called Steve Sestak at the time. It was still queuing president. Got them started on that kind of a thing. John and I have also had multiple discussions about how to handle tennis courts, anything that I've received from either Johnson County, Wyandotte County, or the state of Kansas. I usually pass along to them, because a lot of the conversations that I'm a part of talk about city-run parks and recs departments. And since that doesn't apply to us as a city, but applies more to QE, I try to convey that information to them as soon as possible so that we're all kind of trying to work on the same page. Same with Fred, if I've had any questions from residents about people being worried about large groups, then just simply shooting him a text or shooting the police phone a text just to say, hey, keep an eye on this so that we're not letting it get out of control is just kind of the point that it's gotten to at this point. If a directive was passed down, normally a lot of those happen within the first couple weeks of the shelter in place, but anything that's come along, then we've tried to communicate that to the party who would benefit from hearing it the most.
Yeah, Brady Lilger here. You guys have done a good job of, it seems like as soon as something is enacted, you guys are getting it out on Q News and getting it, all the residents aware. So good job on that. My feeling on, you know, the social distancing and stuff like that for the time being, you know, I would love for Fred, if he sees something wrong, for him to go up or the other officers and just give them a little warning. And, you know, hopefully they disperse. But the weather's going to get nicer and people are going to start being outside more and they're going to get tired of being inside. So, I think in a couple weeks, this might be a bigger issue where we might have to talk about, you know, if we do want to enforce some sort of, you know, follow through or something like that, but we'll talk about that. Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Fred? Okay, Fire Chief's report. I've just been in email contact with Mark Steffen. He's got the fire truck listed on a few different sites. I think Aaron paid the whatever the fees were to get them listed for however many months. So I'll check with him again before our next meeting, and if he doesn't have any leads or anything even close, then I really do think that we as a council need to think about, hey, this has been sitting here for going on 2 years. You know, I know Mark has some sentimental feelings towards that truck and feels like he could get a certain amount, but you know, we just haven't seen it. In fact, last time I talked to him, he said the market was saturated with newer trucks that were about the same price. So start thinking about that. I think we need to make a decision at the May meeting just to eBay it or do something, unless anybody else has any other suggestions.
Hey, Brady, this is Annie.
Yep.
I thought there was a gentleman that was working on that, on the Opti project from Iowa that came down and was interested. Whatever happened to him?
It's a good question. I can't remember. Was that Bill Cole that had that, or was it Mark Steffen that brought it to our attention?
Bill Cole. It was AgriDrain people that delivered it, that built the AgriDrain project for Opti. We probably just need to follow up with them. I'll talk to Bill tomorrow.
That seemed like a kind of promising lead, but obviously we haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
But I think it's a follow-up.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think enough time has elapsed here that we've been trying to get this figured out, that we just probably need to make a move.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling. So I'll get with Mark and we'll have a discussion in May. Okay. No city clerk's report tonight, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Michelle, is there a city attorney's report or anything you'd like to say? Thank you so much. I know we've been emailing your account like crazy all week, the last couple weeks, so thanks for bearing with us. But anything you want to add?
Yeah, I did want to comment on just, I'm extremely impressed with Aaron and Fred and Kathy and just what a great job they've done staying on top of this and getting this meeting set up, and Annie, your help on this as well. You know, it's really important as we're doing this that we still have to abide by all the open meetings requirements. And so everybody's just done a great job of working on that together, and I really appreciate that. And I know you've been getting a lot of responses from me as well, Brady. And I know it's a lot to process, but it's at the end of the day, we just have to make sure we're doing what we need to be doing and still giving the public an opportunity to be a part of this process, as strange as it is. So, but everybody's just been great and working really well together, and even working on some changes as late as this afternoon. So just wanted to say how much I appreciate that.
Great. Well, we appreciate you, and We might give you the day off tomorrow and then hit you up again Wednesday and talk about this meeting and how we're going to do the next one. So.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. All right. On to my report. I'd like to give everybody an update on Gail and Kent Best. They are feeling better. They are both still under quarantine. Both of them ended up getting the coronavirus. Kent was in the hospital for a number of days. Gail was quarantined to their condo in Hilton Head. She's quarantined till Thursday, and she's been going to bed about 7 o'clock East Coast time, so she apologized for missing tonight. She really didn't have much to present anyway. Her and Kent are hopefully going to drive back late next week back home to Lake Quivira, so let's welcome them. And it sounds like they've turned a corner and they're just a little tired and worn out, but ready to come home. So that's the update there. In regards to everything that's going on in the world, you guys wake up, you read the news, you watch the news. You guys are well aware of what's going on. Every day is something different. I hate using the phrase a fluid situation, but it really is, just because every day is something new, it seems like. I hope many of you probably heard that this next week to 10 days or 2 weeks might be the worst as far as numbers of affected and deaths out there. So I would just encourage you guys as the governing body of Lake Quivira, you know, to practice social distancing and encourage your neighbors and all that stuff. Let's just really try and tighten it up the next 2 weeks. And hopefully this is gone, or at least slowed down in a month from now and we can have a normal summer. But as far as us, we can only do what we can do here at Lake Quivira. So let's do our best. Okay. Not sure if you guys have heard, but, Pet Immunization Day was canceled for obvious reasons. We have extended, based on a resolution that we have being presented tonight, extended the date to get your payments in for the dog registration. I talked to John Nelson last week. I don't know if we're ever going to actually have a vaccination day. So for the time being, we've just kind of delayed that so people don't have to worry about taking their dog to a vet right now, getting out there in the world if they don't want to, just to get their pet vaccinated. In fact, I think Kathy talked to Bethel today, and they're not even considering pet vaccinations an essential business. So I know some vets are, some aren't. So hopefully this resolution gets passed and people have a little bit of a grace period to get their payments and stuff in. So we will go over that later. We also have postponed Fred Braun Day. There's been talk about at least possibly getting some dumpsters in the beach area. But after discussion with waste management, for the time being, it just doesn't seem like the smart thing to do. We would have to have somebody down there at all times monitoring what goes into the dumpsters, as well as making sure that people are respecting the social distance. And it's just too much right now. So we'll revisit the dumpster day, the large item pickup day again in the future. And we definitely want to have a Fred Braun Day, whether it's, we move it to the fall or what. But as of right now, all that's on hold. So I know a lot of people are at home cleaning their houses out, trying to get rid of stuff. I've had several calls about large item trash pickup. And unfortunately, at this time, we can't do it, and waste management can't do it. So pass that along to your friends and neighbors, please. Trash dumpster signs. I know last month, and I didn't ask Gail about it, but last month she was presenting signs for the dumpsters. And I don't believe those have been put on the dumpsters. I don't know if they've been purchased. Dave, do you know anything about that?
I do not have an update. I haven't spoken with Gail at all. The plan was it was a vendor that Kent has used a lot, and she was going to order them from Kent.
Okay.
So, since they've been out, you know, and under quarantine, I do not have an update.
Okay.
I do know it's being overfilled again, and you had an issue with people stacking stuff up in front so they couldn't empty them. It's just, you know, we need the signs, we need more attention to that area.
Yeah, I agree. I'll get with Gail on the signs, and then I'll also get with her on the call, because it seems like the only protocol we have in place right now is Lake Maintenance calling, emailing, supposed to be calling or emailing Aaron, who calls Waste Management, correct? And
this is Aaron. If it were to function the way that it is supposed to, when Justin sees that it's full, he has authority, head of Lake Maintenance, to call Waste Management to ask for a pickup. When he does that, he's then supposed to email me so that I have a record of it. I was going to say, Dave, great job on the Women of LQ posts. I appreciated that. There was a big thread going on Facebook regarding why the dumpsters haven't been picked up, getting angry at queuing, getting angry at the city. And Dave very kindly noted that when you pile bags in front of the dumpster and Waste Management shows up to pick up the dumpster, they can't get to it because of that behavior. So if you see it full, maybe hold off so that it can be have a chance to be emptied. But he said it in a very kind way, and I appreciated that.
We actually ran into, this John Nelson, we ran into a couple things. One was my understanding that Deffenbaugh set up some type of new call bank or something, which wasn't operating very well, so they did not get out here very quickly when Justin did call them, and it got stacked up. The other thing we're having is everybody has his board, so they're out cleaning everything up. You should have seen what we hauled away just in our first Monday pickup today, the branches that were just stacked. So we just need to stay on it. I've talked to Justin and told him, if it's getting close, we need to make the call, recognizing it may take them a day or two.
Yeah. Brady Lilger here. Yeah, I agree with all you guys, and thanks, Dave, for that post. I also think it was just a perfect storm, kind of like what you said, John. Waste Management has tried to set up a call center so there a lot of their employees could work from home, and it was delayed by a couple days. You know, I think we had some nice weather coupled with the fact that everybody was home, like you said, getting rid of stuff. So hopefully we just keep an eye on it and keep it nice and tidy down there. All right. Last one I've got is the holiday drive update. I know I've talked to Greg, and I think I mentioned it to Annie last week. So Wyandotte County, there's now three people involved. They've all acknowledged that the road needs repairs. They've acknowledged that they've done it in the past, and they are going to do it going forward. It was my point to get across that we had Olson go out and take a look at it, and that it was not just a patch that needed to be done this time, that it was significant road repair, guardrail, building that hillside back up, and all that. They have budgeted in to repair that this year, but again, I don't know what they budgeted for. So I gave them the report from Olson on what Olson suggested should be done, and have not heard back from them yet. I've kind of semi-offered to, you know, to help out for Lake Quivira to help out. You know, we acknowledge that we use that road and we travel up and down it. But I want it to be a small portion, and mainly I just want to get it done right. So if they're coming in saying, well, we don't think we need to do this and we can cut some costs here, I would rather get it done right and chip in and help the unified government get that done. The problem we have is, we've all talked about it, it is a safety issue, but we're kind of at their beck and call. So it's one of those things, we could go ahead and do it. Aaron said 2 months ago, we've got money in to pay for it, but do we really want to do that if there's a chance that Wyandotte County is going to, you know, take the bulk of that from us? So I don't want to wait another, you know, month without hearing from them. I do know that they probably laid off some Public Works is able to work. They probably laid off some employees or let them go home, unfortunately. So I just don't know how much is going to get done here in the next 2 weeks, especially with all this unknown. So, Greg, you had a question?
Hey, Greg, do you think it's possible that if we could find out what they have budgeted, that we could flip this around the other way and they could pay us a sum? This is wishful thinking. We get them to pay some sort of dollar amount, and then we do it how we feel is correct.
You know, it's possible. I think their take on it would probably be, well, you know, we'll give you this amount of money, and it's not very much because we've got the in-house personnel that can do a lot of it and the equipment that can do a lot of it. It's a good starting point, just to try and get the ball rolling. So I can definitely ask. Any other suggestions from you guys? I know we all hate sitting around and driving over that area, and we've talked about it so much. I just don't know where else to go at this point.
And it would be worthwhile if we did some just not petitions, but just get some people to, you know, just call them and just so that they can feel, you know, like you've come at it, maybe some residents. I don't know. I'm just thinking the more they kind of hear the greasy, what's the saying, the greasy, no, squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the more we kind of create a little bit more energy behind it, maybe, I mean, who knows, but I was just thinking that might be an idea.
Yeah, I don't think that can hurt. I think that's a great idea. I've taken pictures from Holiday Drive and sent it to him. I know Greg told a pretty good story when he talked to him, just to light a fire underneath him a little bit. So yeah, I think.
Never respond. I think I'd sent like 6 or 7 different requests in through their app and never once got a response.
Yeah. But yeah, Annie, we can get together, this week and talk about that.
I almost need to just maybe be strategic and like just regularly following back. I mean, I know you've done some, but I just think that's the only way they're going to get their attention. And granted, yes, the timing right now is bad, but when things open up, we want to be number one on the list.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. Okay. Well,
what if I stick some cones out there just to help draw some attention to the area?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Okay. Well, I will, I'll email you this week, Annie, and Greg as well, and we'll come up with something. Any other suggestions? Anybody? Okay. That is it for me and my mayor's report. I do want to say, John, you guys are doing a great job at Q Inc. just getting all this information out there and all the ideas you're coming up with the clubhouse and the to-go orders and just all that stuff. I can't imagine how busy you guys are up there just dealing with all that. So well done. And if there's anything you'd like to add right now, go for it.
No, I just appreciate y'all's support too, especially Fred and his officers. Thank you.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, I would like to just say, Brady, thanks for helping support the Quivira Cares program, which was phenomenally received by the city and just Q Inc. at large. We've collected $39,000. Can you believe that? And already made a first $10,000 check.
Yeah.
Just for the payroll that went out last week. So we have sufficient for 2 more payrolls and actually for them to be able to recognize some of the other employees too, hopefully. I hope we're done after 2 more pay periods.
Yeah.
But the response has been great. So, Brady, thank you for kind of you and Kathy blasting that out to on the city communication side.
Oh, that was my pleasure. That was a great meeting that we all had via Zoom. And what a great group of people, and the way you guys managed to get that whole thing up and running in a matter of days. And I think after a couple of days, we had $16,000 or something like that. So well done to you guys and everybody else. So thank you. Okay, on to city council reports. We're going to go counterclockwise. Greg Preet.
I don't have a whole lot. We talked about the holiday drive.
Okay.
So that I did have thank you to Fred for answering an erosion control question or complaint. I think it was just this Sunday, and Fred was already jumping on it. So I appreciate Fred's help on that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Fred. Fred's had a couple of construction projects on one street with some, you know, some mud issues in the street, nothing too significant, but yeah, he's been working weekends if need be and nights to get that solved. And house is almost done, so hopefully we won't have any issues. But Greg, thanks for taking those phone calls. I know you've had quite a bit on the mud, and it's just one of those things. We had a lot of construction on one particular street, and I think we're dealing with it very well. So good job, Greg, Fred. Thank you, guys. All right. John Christie?
I really only have one thing, and that kind of update you on a conversation Michelle and I had a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was the January meeting I mentioned conceptually the NDO, the non-discriminatory ordinance, and that was kind of when they were still didn't know exactly how the city attorney situation was going to play itself out, so now that we have a little more clarity there, Michelle and I had a chance to visit, and basically what I wanted to do in tonight's meeting is before she would go through the time and the research to start drafting a document was solicit feedback from the council on opinions, and you know, obviously don't want it to go to a whole lot of work if it's going to hit a stumbling block. And so I guess just as a quick reminder, conceptually, an NDO is designed to cover a city and its residents, all classes of people, even those that aren't protected at a federal level from discrimination. They have been hot topics in these other cities that we've gone through without any issue. Lake Quivira is a little bit unique because we don't have a whole lot of businesses here. Really the biggest impact of it would be Q Inc. in and of itself. Q Inc. has similar, well, this is according to the, you know, former Q Inc. president, Steve Sestak, that they have a pretty similar verbiage in place. So really, you know, I think it just kind of sets a tone and a culture. But before, and Michelle, please jump in if I'm butchering our conversation. But I guess what I wanted to find out before she goes to scribing something that would, you know, potentially be presented in the next month or two as, you know, something to pass is, any sort of, opinions, one way or another from the council or for that matter from John or Fred. How'd I do, Michelle? Can I get a thumbs up? Is it that work?
Thumbs up. If I can just throw a couple extra things in there real quickly. Something John and I visited about a little bit as I was transitioning into the position and Ellis was transitioning out, we did visit about this a bit because he'd indicated there'd been some interest. And this is something I haven't, as John just indicated, I haven't gotten into much more just until we kind of get some feedback. Ellis's indication was because of the nature of the business of Q Inc. that they actually would not be impacted by this ordinance. In other words, it would not govern their actions. Now, certainly they can have their own private policies in place, and I would want to confirm that, but that was just the indication that Ellis did give to me as he was, you know, exiting the position, that anything that the city would pass would not apply to Q Inc. because of the nature of the business. So what we'd really be looking at is, you know, apply to the city, obviously, but the city already has provisions in place as well. One thing John and I talked about a little bit is whether or not there's any, like, home businesses, whether or not those would be impacted. We'd need to kind of look into that. And then certainly the other thing that we would want to incorporate into this, should we choose to move forward, is just the constitutionally protected rights that are often visited about and discussed at the various city meetings that have taken place already. We'd want to make sure that we were protecting constitutionally protected rights, but then also taking into account the message that the city would be sending as well. So just those were kind of just a few of the, you know, tip of the iceberg conversations that we had when we talked a couple weeks ago.
Can I ask a question, Brady?
Go ahead.
This is John Nelson. On the Q-Wing side, Michelle, you indicated that it wouldn't, and we have no problem with it, believe me. But I mean, we do hold weddings here that are outside, or we, you know, at the clubhouse, or we have receptions, we have that type of thing. So you're saying it wouldn't affect us? I'm kind of surprised, but whatever we need to do, I can bring it up to the board. I don't know if we're meeting this month. I don't think we are. Probably next month for sure. But I do want to make sure we're covered. I mean, it should not be a problem.
Michelle, thanks. Just to clarify, and again, I would want to double check and see what the basis was for Ellis's position on that, but I believe it has to do with the legal nature of the entity. So in other words, the city ordinance would not require Q Inc. to abide by the provisions of the ordinance if it's enacted. Q Inc. can do whatever it chooses to do as a private property owner, as, again, I need to have a little better understanding of the legal entity itself. So certainly you could have provisions in place, you could have policies in place. With what he was indicating, the ordinance itself would not control the action of Q Inc. or what types of activities take place on the property. So what happens is in a lot of communities, there's multiple businesses that are controlled by it because of whatever the nature of that business is. And his indication was simply that Q Inc., because it's a different type of legal entity, would not be controlled by it. And it would be certainly something that you and I'd be happy to visit with Q Inc.'s legal counsel on that as well, just to kind of go over that and make sure we're all on the same page on that as well.
Well, and the only other question I might ask, I mean, and I have no problem bringing it to the board, if nothing else, to support your ordinance, I mean, would that be of any benefit, even though we don't have to? I mean, I still think it would be worthwhile since we have the primary business here, and we do outside is, you know, just to support it or pass a resolution of support or something. We can talk about that in a month or two.
That's right.
Which way y'all go.
Right. And again, you, that would be something obviously that you'd want to discuss with your legal counsel on how to go about doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. John and I have talked about this. This is Brady Lilja. John, Christy, and I have talked about this in the past. He knows my feelings on it. I'm all for it, but I'd love to hear from Greg and Dave and Annie. You know, just before John and Michelle and John Nelson and Q Inc. and, you know, before they start doing all this, we'd love to hear your opinions on this NDO.
I was checking out the kind of proliferation of this around the county, and there are almost a dozen cities in Johnson County that have these. I know Olathe started out this resolution and was finally adopted as an ordinance in a 4-3 vote. I mean, it feels like this is, you know,
he said he's all for it.
Has shown that this is
he's noticed a lot of cities in Johnson County.
Would prefer to have in writing rather than just the handshake agreement. So in that regard, you know, it's the right thing to do, in my opinion. And I'm all for it.
Okay. Annie or Greg?
I don't have anything specific to add about it. I'm for it as much as I understand the nuances of it.
That's fair.
I think the way that just look how Olathe made the news on it, it didn't make them look any better. The way they kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, argued with each other, prolonged it, kind of danced around it, and kind of made an issue about it. Better just kind of pass it, vote on it if it passes, and kind of move on rather than kind of we're not going to make the news probably compared to like an Olathe, but I don't think it helped them out at all the way they handled it.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree. And I actually know somebody who's helped propagate these through some other cities. And
if we're going to do it,
I think it'll be in our best interest to raise it up at a meeting and vote on it versus like instead of drawing it out over the next 6 months and saying, hey, please, what think it's seen of this. Just to get it, you know, just to do it. And it sounds like we're all, you know, not ready to do that tonight. Obviously, there's nothing to vote on, but conceptually, we're on the same page. So I think then the next step will be Michelle and I will have another conversation and hopefully have something more formal to present May or June.
If I may, Mayor, Michelle Days, John and I talked about this. You know, again, he indicated he has someone that's worked on this before. I have a couple contacts of individuals that have also worked on it, kind of from the legal side, the protecting the constitutionality of it. What he and I talked about is there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. You know, certainly we can learn from those other communities, like Greg indicated, in terms of how, you know, what the behavior and the discussion is, but also in our drafting as well. You know, certainly we can take the good points from some of those other communities and try and incorporate those in. We'll kind of need to figure out, you know, as John and I work on it, we'll need to figure out a way to get some of those things to you so that you have an opportunity to see kind of what we're talking about before it comes before you officially. But obviously we'll need to do that in compliance with open meetings requirements. One other thing, many of the communities have had individuals come from outside the community. And I think that's something just to make comments. And that's something that we'll need to be prepared for in case that happens. Something we talked about is, you know, who knows how long these virtual meetings are going to continue, hopefully not long. But my recommendation is that we not attempt to have those discussions if at all possible. Try not to have that on agenda that's at a virtual meeting, because you really want to have the opportunity for people, particularly your residents and your constituents. You want them to have the opportunity to speak on something that we know can have some controversy, not because we want to encourage controversy and not because we want to encourage debate, negative debate, but because we do want to give people the opportunity to give input, and we don't want there to be any impression that we're trying to kind of slide something through without that opportunity. So that was kind of why John and I talked about getting some feedback from you all tonight. And then, as he indicated, certainly then we can move forward and continue to communicate with you and then hopefully present something we can all be in person, and anyone who wants to speak can also be there to speak.
That sounds great. I completely agree. I would just ask that, you know, once you guys do meet, that you keep Q Inc. and their counsel in mind and just keep them up to date and see how we can include them if we need to include them.
So that'd be great. And if I just, is Pete Heaven Q Inc.'s legal counsel?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I can coordinate anything there you need with Michelle.
Okay, fantastic. Pete and I've worked a lot together through the years, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Awesome. Okay, anything else, John, Christy? Okay, moving on, we'll go to Jack McCullough. Oh, no, that's Dave McCullough.
Someone from Double Check to come out and meet with Fred and Kathy and me to walk through how the computer system works in the back room. And then once that's done, I think I've got all my boxes checked. On waste management, I'm going to get to Mike Olson, and I have not been able to meet face to face. I'm getting a message. I have a bad connection. Can you guys hear me?
You're definitely breaking in and out. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, you know, I don't really have anything specific until I could meet face to face with people once the kind of shelter in place stuff is subsided. But I
given Aaron's up today, I'd rather hit the gas station tucked away sooner than later, so we can start generating some revenue from that. But there is one more box I need to check on that. That's all I've got.
Okay.
What did he say about waste management? I missed that.
And Kathy wants to know, what did you say about waste management?
I'm going to be getting together with Mike Olson to put together a video on what we should and should not be recycling, given their update last time about increasing our rates for the recycling service.
Gotcha.
Basically what Gail did last year, but we want to put it in a video.
Okay. I think she got that. We're just making sure Kathy can hear everything for the minute, so thank you. All right, nothing else, Dave? All right, up and around to Andy Nolan.
So I just have a quick update. We're going to finish all the performance reviews, and then everything went to just got out of control. So Grady and I need to schedule some Zoom reviews. We just have to finish up Aaron and Fred. They're all together. They've been ready, but we just need to sit down with those two. So I think hopefully this week maybe we can carve out and do a Zoom call. Might be easier to get those finished up and do a little bit of objective planning for this year. I think Brady and I are also going to just kind of walk through some just look at things strategically for the city here and just kind of make sure we've got everything together on that. That's really all I've been working on. I guess the one thing I was wondering, do we want to pursue a Zoom account for the city? Forward? I mean, this is a corporate account, which is fine, but I'm just thinking we did talk about that we might want to move into that. If we think that this is going to be a longer or something that we just need to keep on, just have in our back pocket so that we can hold meetings, you know, if we need to.
Yeah, Brady Lilja here. Based on the price on the emails yesterday, what, $20? And I don't know if that's $20 a month or a year or whatever. And if we can cancel at any time, my suggestion is that we have one, some sort of corporate account. But before we do that, there's no rush. I think we can talk about how the meeting went once we get off this. Everybody can kind of talk about it throughout the week. Like I said, the next week or two sound like it's going to be the worst, and then hopefully it kind of starts leveling off, where they ease those restrictions. Our next meeting's not till May 4th, so that gives us, you know, almost a full month, to decide this. But, yeah, I think if we have to do another meeting or two, an account wouldn't hurt. So good idea. Good call. I did want to go back to something. I can't remember. I think it was John Nelson mentioned that, you know, before too long, we're talking about, summer rec. We're talking about swim team. We're talking about golf tournaments. We're talking about the ice cream social, 4th of July, just all sorts of stuff going on. And Gail Best brought this up last week that, you know, with everything having to be condensed, I don't know if we need some sort of committee or some sort of group that can actually, you know, figure out when Mother's Club wants to do their Mother's Club float or when Garden Club wants to do the pontoon crawl and if we're doing the triathlon and all that stuff, because it's going to be really, really hard to do all these Fred Braun days and makeup days with only so many weekends available. So just start. I know Gail mentioned that to me. That's something that she would maybe like to follow up with, but just start thinking about stuff like that. You know, I know Aaron, you've got information on Mother's Club and summer rec stuff and all that. So if stuff like that starts to pop up, we need some sort of calendar between Q Inc. and the city and all the clubs, before we just start rescheduling stuff. Cause I can see it being a real headache, but that's just my opinion.
Brady, this is John Nelson. I agree with you 100%, and I'm working with Lisa right now to start that process. Because the other thing we've seen, too, with all the weddings that have been canceled because of this, they're all pushing into August, September, October, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very quickly. And let me work on that, and I'll let you know, and the city, of course, needs to be involved in what we can do.
Okay. And, yeah.
Maybe we just need to get a couple reps from the city, a couple from QA. We need to start thinking this through.
Okay. Sounds good. Keep us in the loop. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Annie, anything else? Okay, thanks for setting this up, Annie, and the Quivira Cares one and all that, and we'll get together and talk about how this went this week. Okay, any old business, or I'm sorry, any new business? No, there is no old business that I know of. Anybody have any old business? Okay. New business you guys all saw on the agenda and hopefully got a copy of the resolution. It's resolution 138, essentially just pushing back the due date on dog registration. Everybody get a copy of that resolution. And Michelle, why did we do a resolution as opposed to a proclamation or an ordinance? Why the resolution?
Sure. So the resolution requires a vote of the council, whereas a proclamation typically does not. So we want the council's vote on this. The reason we didn't do an ordinance, though, is because an ordinance is a more formal, long-lasting law, basically. So by doing the resolution, it's official action of the council. It does not require a publication period. It doesn't require anything like that, so it can go into effect immediately. And it does exactly what this does. It just kind of changes something temporarily, or it would cover a situation that's only happening 1 year. Well, that's what this is. We're just doing this for the time being. No sense changing the law because then we have to change it back again for next year. So that's what this does. It makes it official without having to go through quite as much detail and red tape, will you, that you'd have to for an ordinance.
Okay. And, Michelle, do you suggest that I read part of this for the public that's listening, or do I need to?
It's up to you. You don't need to, simply because this was something that was part of, it was on the agenda. So the public has had the opportunity to ask for a copy of this if they want. Certainly if you want to go through and explain the key parts, you can, but it's not a legal requirement because it has been made public prior to the meeting.
Okay. So just for those out there listening, if you guys are still out there, you can request this resolution, but essentially it's just, taking the original due date, of May 1st and extending it to June 1st, 2020, for the dog registration. We're just giving people a little grace period. Hopefully this passes and, this is the only time we have to do it, but we just thought it was important to help our residents a little bit, give them a little bit of time to do this. So, anybody have any questions? Any council members? Have you guys read it? Any questions on that? Okay. I would entertain a motion on resolution number 138. Greg?
I move the council approve a resolution extending the date for the payment of the 2020 annual dog license fee required by Title 8, Section 2 of the City Code.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second? I've got John Christie as a second. Okay, any discussion, guys? Okay, motion carries unanimously for resolution number 138. Thank you, guys. Any reason for an executive session?
Michelle Days, I'm not aware of any.
It'd be cool to see how we're going to pull it off.
No, not tonight.
We have discussed that.
Yeah, we have discussed that often. Okay, we're good. All right, no executive session. Next meeting will be May 4th. It is 7:56, and I'm going to adjourn this virtual meeting. Thank you, everybody. Can I get a motion to adjourn? Sorry.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
John Christie makes. I have a second. Annie seconds. Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Meeting adjourned. Thanks, guys. Not too bad. All right. Thanks, guys.